Howdy, dear friends. Welcome. My next guest is somebody I haven't talked to in a long time, Ellen Tadd. What a lovely lady. She is a lecturer. She's a counselor. She works with people on spiritual potential in everyday life. She's been doing so for a lot of years, and she's back with a brand new project. Her website is ellentadd2ds.com, by the way. Her latest project is all about chakra, called The Wisdom of the Chakras, Tools for Navigating the Complexity of Life. And Ellen, welcome back. It's only been about 9 million years.
Hi, Jordan. It's so great to talk to you again.
It is. We talked many years back and have kept in touch over the span, but I'm thrilled that you're back and doing well. And I love this because it's absolutely not goofy, out of sight, new age talk. It is all very, very practical stuff when you talk about the chakra. So why don't we start with what a chakra is to begin with?
Okay. Well, the word chakra means wheel in Sanskrit, and there are seven major chakras or energy centers that go from the top of the head to the base of the spine. And it's through these energy centers that we emanate and process life experiences. Even if a person has never heard the term, they still do experience and emanate through these centers.
And these centers have specific locations in the body, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. So people listening might think, oh, how does this pertain to me? But if you remember that feeling you get in the, quote, pit of your stomach, or that thought that pops into your head and you get a little bit of a nudge right above your eyebrow. I mean, these are definite signals that the body is giving out.
That's right. That culturally, we do know about the chakras. So the gut reaction, that's the solar plexus chakra. On our dollar bill, above the pyramid, there's a third eye, or an eye, which is linked to the Freemasons who believed in the third eye chakra. And if someone, you know, sees a golden halo in a religious picture, that's the crown chakra.
Mm.
So these centers really are woven through our culture.
Now, in the work you do, I mean, it's practical use of chakra, understanding it, and in a sense, mixing some of the chakra together. I don't mean to say it that bluntly, but talk a little bit about what you're looking at here and how we can improve our lives by addressing the needs of the various zones in our body.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm glad you used the word practical, because that's what's most important to me. What is the quality of our individual lives and the lives of our children? And do we have a healthy culture? And if not, what can improve it? And I find that the chakra system is just a fabulous checklist to see if we are in well-being or not. So The chakras are interconnected. The analogy I use is they're very much like anatomy and physiology. You know, how our lungs function affect our heart. So we don't want to just focus on lung health. We want to focus on the whole body. We want to focus on how the whole chakra system works together.
Now, from an anatomical point of view, from strictly body development, you have literally seven of these, and figuratively seven of these. And you can say, for instance, the throat chakra relates to obviously the area of the throat, but something happens in your psyche when the throat chakra is out of sync. So let's just pick anyone. Let's pick that one as an example. What does that chakra really do for us and control, or not control, but signal to us? And when it's not in sync, what happens?
Okay. So the throat chakra is the center of confidence, self-esteem. Excuse me. I think of the throat chakra as how you feel about yourself when you go in the closet and close the door. So it's really how we feel about ourselves, not so much in relationship to others, but just in relationship to ourselves. So it's the center of self-esteem. It's the center of expression. It's the center of power. You know, the power of words should never be underestimated. So when the throat chakra is weakened, then a person doesn't feel very confident, and that will affect the way they communicate. Mm. Some people who have a weakened throat chakra won't speak up when they should, and other people who have a weakened throat chakra may talk too much because they're feeling insecure. So how we perceive informs how we feel, and how we feel informs what we do and how we speak. So this is where I call the third eye in the middle of the forehead the kingpin of the chakra system, because it's the center of clear perception. And if we have clear perception, how we then communicate and our sense of self-esteem will radically be affected. So the third eye perception really helps support the throat chakra.
It's almost as though the third eye is the, shall we say, the radar or the sonar or the control center, certainly maybe even the drone. It's overlooking the rest of the body. God, I'm using every illusion I can come up with.
Well, you know, I think of the third eye as such a kingpin, because it is the center that gives us clear perception. And if we're confused, then how we verbally communicate will be confused as
right.
well. So the third eye will affect the throat chakra. And, you know, we have a culture where people's throat chakras are often weakened because we have an educational system that teaches too much towards the test. So if you get the wrong answer, you feel bad about yourself. When we feel bad about ourselves, our throat chakra gets weakened instead of really embracing the learning process.
My friend and guest is Ellen Tadd, The Wisdom of the Chakras, Tools for Navigating the Complexity of Life. I don't want to belabor the throat thing, but when you get a lump in your throat, either because you're fearful of what's ahead or you're ashamed of something, would that be relatable to what the chakra is experiencing?
Absolutely. When the etheric or the energy of the chakras are affected over time, they then affect us physically.
What I gather from all of this is that the issue of balance is so important chemically, hormonally, and in the chakra system, I think balance really makes sense. In other words, if one zone of your body is overtaking another emotionally or physically, you can throw things out of whack and really be in trouble. Am I right about that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's so important to attend to all the different aspects of our life. You know, it'd be like eating a diet of, you know, only string beans. Well, string beans are probably good for you, but they're not enough alone. So it's all about balance, and this is why the chakra system is such a checklist, because it attends to all the major aspects and concerns of an individual life.
Let's talk about the solar plexus. I mentioned at the beginning the gut reaction, that in the middle, the center, the core, whether it be breath or pain, it comes from the middle. And the solar plexus is, people think it's the heart, but it's really below where all the emotions seem to be stored. How critical, next to the third eye, is solar plexus?
Well, culturally, we're taught to feel and to think and to move back and forth between these two forms of perception. So the solar plexus is the center of feeling, and the intellect, the brain, analytical mind, is the thinking. And the third eye is another option, which is in the center of the forehead, and this is the center of wisdom. Wisdom is very different than the intellect. Wisdom is the ability to see the far-reaching impact. And therefore, it's the center of good decision-making. You know, I think the idea of having a strong intellect is fabulous. It's like having a fast computer. But I wouldn't want my computer to make my life decisions for me.
Right.
So the third eye integrates the intellect and the emotion. So if you're living in the solar plexus or focused there while you're living, rather than the third eye, then you're going to have a tendency to have a lot of emotional reactions when things are not going the way you want them to. So living in the solar plexus, which I observe many people do, is a very turbulent way of moving through life. And all addictions, all emotional reactions, anger, grief, sadness, they all come from an imbalanced solar plexus. So healing this center is very key.
Would it be safe to say then that simply knowing or understanding, whether you have the terms of art, the chakra terms or not, but knowing that we are more than just legs, arms, and tissue, that we really have centers of knowledge, centers of emotion, just knowing that is the first step to sort of getting in shape?
Well, absolutely, having that awareness. And in my book, The Wisdom of the Chakras, you know, I have a lot of little exercises that people can practice in the midst of their daily life, not needing extra time. And I find that experiential knowing is is really the best way. I wouldn't want someone just to believe my conclusions, but try some of the exercises and see for yourself how they right. work. So having the experience is what makes the difference.
Ellen, let's do this, if you don't mind. Share with me and my audience one or two quick exercises to give an illustration as to what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, the exercise I try to show everyone, because it's simple and profound, is the comparison of perception between the gut, the solar plexus, and the third eye that's right in the middle of the forehead. So if you close your eyes and you focus in the gut and imagine yourself late for an important appointment, what most people feel is anxious and rushing, and then bringing all your attention up to the point in the middle of your forehead and look out of that point with focus and concentration and imagine the same scenario, being late for an important appointment. And people find that the tension goes away, they get wiser, they accept the situation, and then make appropriate choices. So when you find yourself anxious, know that you're in the solar plexus and literally staring at a point, bringing your attention up to the middle of the forehead will dissipate that anxiety. I have found that it's impossible to be anxious and focused at the same time.
That is very, very good. And by the way, an exercise you can do in the car or let's say in the reading room, anywhere at all, you can focus on that, which is why I love you, Ellen. You're not at all let's put it this way. You're not wearing a robe and sitting on a mountain somewhere. You're here telling us all this cool stuff. So this is nothing new. The Sanskrit is about as old as it gets, right?
Well, certainly the concept is ancient. What I bring, I think, to the table is that I've spent a lot of years observing energy, and so I've watched how people are functioning with the chakras in our culture and what adjustments we need to make in order to find an integrated balance.
Well, that's certainly what you'll find in her latest project, which is called The Wisdom of the Chakras by Ellen Tadd, and the website is ellentadd.com. And Ellen and I go back a long way. She's a real pro at this and a very nice person, too. And I can't thank you enough for coming back here and joining us for a bit.
Well, thank you, Jordan. I think you're very kind, and it's my pleasure.
Indeed. The Wisdom of the Chakras. And we'll be back to hopefully spread more wisdom your way next on The Jordan Rich Show.